today on Real Radio.
Whenever there's power, power corrupts. It's just the nature of man. You want to know what someone's made of? Give them some authority and you'll find out real quick what they're made of. It's been my experience, very few people in life can handle authority. They get goofy.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack now in a message called 31.7 North, 35.2 East. Part 1 continues a series now called The God of Our Salvation, the book of Isaiah. Now don't let that title scare you. We're going to jump right in. God used the prophet Isaiah to speak mainly to his people in Judah and the city of Jerusalem. But God also gave Isaiah visions that were far into the future, the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, and also what's going to happen in the last days when he returns to set up his new kingdom on earth. In Isaiah chapter 25, we learn that there are things we have to wait for, and as earthly beings, we got to learn how to deal with the anticipation. God promises us a real, honest-to-goodness model world, where God will make things right and our praise and worship to a faithful God will become even more precious, where our body, soul, and spirit will be made new and Satan will no longer be the ruler of the age. Now in chapter 26, we're going to continue looking into the coming 1,000-year reign, or what's commonly called the millennial reign, of Jesus Christ. So today, Pastor Jack tells us that the title of this message, while it seems strange, the truth is 31.7 North and 35.2 East pinpoints the coordinates of the city of Jerusalem on the globe. When Jesus Christ first came to Jerusalem, it was to sacrifice his life for our salvation. But during his second coming, he's going to rule and reign from Jerusalem and bring judgment upon the earth. And now in his lesson called 31.7 North, 35.2 East, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
In Jesus' name, that this morning you'd bless our time, or this evening you'd bless our time in the Word. And Father, that we would just walk through the reality, the truth of here, the book of Isaiah in chapter 26. What a great chapter. So Father, give us ears to hear what the Spirit would say to us. And we pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, church, grab your Bibles tonight and turn to Isaiah chapter 26, if you would. Isaiah 26. And we've never had a title like this title before in 25 years of being a church. Never like this. But it's very applicable. It's very, very exact. No pun intended. But look at the title. The title is 31.7 degrees north and 35.2 degrees east. That's the title of tonight's message. Somebody backstage saw the title of the message and said, what is that? Well, the first clue is north and east. You see that? I don't know if there's any navigators in here, but you don't have to be a navigator to recognize that. If you have a smartphone, if you've ever dropped a pen on a map, somewhere on that app, it probably shows you the GPS location, longitude, latitude location of that particular spot you're looking for. And if you were to type that in right now, and on Google Earth, you would put that into the search bar and you would hit search. You would see the globe spin on your phone or on your iPad, and you would see the pin begin to go across the globe, and it would land smack dab, not only in the Middle East, but it would land smack dab in the middle of the nation of Israel, and it would land in Jerusalem. That is Jerusalem. That's Jerusalem. Right there. According to exactness, that's Jerusalem. When God looks from heaven above, he sees Jerusalem. When a satellite looks down from above, it sees this. But the Bible tells us that God's eyes are upon Jerusalem. And I know this is something that is not supposed to be, or people don't like when I say such things as this, but it's a fact nonetheless. And the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, knows nothing about the city of Capitolina. It's not mentioned in the Bible. It's nowhere there. Some of you are looking at me like, what did I just say? Aila Capitolina is the Roman airbrush version over Jerusalem that Emperor Hadrian in 135 AD renamed the city of Jerusalem to wipe it off the face of the earth. He was so disgusted with the Jews and all the antics and trouble that the Jewish people caused him in 135 AD that he renamed the city of Jerusalem to Capitolina, and he renamed the land of Israel to Palestine. Palestine was invented by a Roman emperor in 135 AD. Because it was his plan in his own writings, you can read them later, that he wanted to exterminate the Jewish people and the identity of the Israeli or Israel nation. And just so you know, your history, that predates Islam by hundreds and hundreds of years. Just know that. So when we look at the Bible, as we look at Isaiah chapter 26 tonight, we're talking about God's restoration of the nation of Israel in the last days. We're looking at a nearly 3,000-year-old prophecy from where you and I stand tonight. But God's word says, I am not only going to restore the nation of Israel, God says, when I come back, I'm coming back to the city of Jerusalem. That's throughout the Bible. And you need to know that because your culture is being infiltrated with lies. And your kid's university campus has been raped by lies regarding this truth. When you look at your Bible, the Bible speaks about the millennial reign of Christ, the 1,000-year reign of Jesus. We started it last week in chapter 25, now 26, next time chapter 27. Those three chapters speaking about the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. Look in your Bibles or look on the screens if you don't have a Bible to Matthew chapter 23, Matthew 23, 37. We'll look right at 31.7 degrees north, 35.2 degrees east when Jesus said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather her children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Behold, or see, your house, no doubt he pointed to the temple, is left to you desolate. For I say to you, you shall see me no more. Watch, listen, till you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. If you're taking notes, write that down. In Matthew 23, 39, Jesus announces, I'm coming back, but I will not come back until you're ready to say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That's an amazing prophecy by Jesus Christ himself. It hasn't happened yet, but Jesus says it's going to happen. And Isaiah and Zechariah and Ezekiel says it's going to happen. You've got the witness of the Old and New Testament saying that God is coming back to Jerusalem someday. At his coming, when the millennium begins, it's going to look and sound like this. Psalm 24, verse 9. Lift up your heads, O you gates, lift up you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. That is a messianic psalm. Every Jew knows this in the world, that Psalm 24 is speaking about when Messiah comes. And by the way, they will argue that the gates did not do that when Jesus came 2,000 years ago. So a good practicing Jew will tell us that Jesus cannot be the Messiah because this would have happened. But they have failed to read the prophet Isaiah when Isaiah tells us the Messiah's first visit would come to suffer and die a sinner's death. He would then later come back as a conquering king. The second coming of Christ is for victory and rule. The first coming of Christ is for sacrifice and redemption. And the prophet spoke of this. That's not a New Testament idea. It's not a New Testament doctrine. It's an Old Testament doctrine. Matthew chapter 24, beginning at verse 27. And this is how the millennium will begin, the 1,000-year reign of Christ. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Immediately, verse 29, after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven. Wow. And the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth, everybody, will mourn. It's not a good day for the earth dwellers when Christ comes back in the second coming. Not a good day. And they will see the Son of Man coming with, or on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. What an awesome moment. The second coming of Christ is going to be, as the old King James puts it, the great and terrible day of our Lord. Jesus will come back to judge the earth. Most of the believers, if not all, will be sacrificed at the hands of the Antichrist and his minions. But the coming millennial reign of Jesus in these three chapters, and tonight we're right in the middle of it, are the very glimpses into what's going to take place in our future. A few more verses before we get into the first three verses of this book. Psalm chapter 48, listen to this. Psalm 48, verse 1. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in his holy mountain, beautiful in elevation, the joy of the whole earth. This has not happened yet. Is Mount Zion on the sides of the north the city of the great King? Psalm 48, 1. Whatever, by the way, man touches, if you've noticed, when it comes to rule and reign, Jesus is coming back to rule and reign. He's going to exercise his government. But whatever, if you've noticed, whatever man touches, it doesn't take long for that thing to become polluted or goofy. It's just what we do. Even when we start out with the best intentions, we mess it up. Think about it. That may offend you tonight if you have your hope in man. You may think, no. There's great things that have come out of man's achievements. There are some great things that have come out of man and his achievements, but they quickly go sour. And if you and I are living off of any great benefits right now, it's because it has not yet soured. And what I'm saying, for example, is in the area of government and rule, because the millennial is the reign of Christ. Now, listen to this. Whenever there's power, power corrupts. It's just the nature of man. You want to know what someone's made of? Give them some authority and you'll find out real quick what they're made of. I'm telling you right now. If any of you have had any businesses, if you've had any employees, or if you had any ability to delegate power to somebody, you will find out real quick what they're made of. It's been my experience, very few people in life can handle authority. They get goofy. And government, God engineers and God created, and what happens to it? It's a great idea, government is. You and I don't like it. Why do you not like it? It's because of what men have done to it. But Christ is going to return, and it's going to be awesome. True government, the inventor of government, at the helm. That is going to be a great day. So keeping that in mind, I want you to hear from the Word of God about God's heart and how government ought to be. Psalm 100. This is what delights the heart of the Lord. Psalm 100, verse 1. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. What does that mean? That means the lands, the world is under the jurisdiction of the Lord. But the Lord doesn't want you to cower in fear and be sequestered and suppressed. He wants you to shout with joy. That's why, by the way, the Christian, our faith knows no borders or limits. Our faith right now, here in the 21st century. That you and I as believers, the kingdom of God is already in us. So we can worship God in prison or we can worship God on a mountaintop. Doesn't matter to us because the kingdom of God is within us. We shout for joy. We praise the Lord. But here, there's a day coming when the lands of the earth will do it. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. This is what God wants us to do. And that is going to describe the government when Christ returns. How cool will that be? Can you imagine nations in the millennium and their leaders singing to God? Nations are going to have choirs to praise the Lord. The nations will worship him. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us and not we ourselves. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. That's what the nations will do when Christ returns. Number one, in chapter 26, we'll look at verses 1 and 2 to get started. The city of the great king. It will be Jerusalem once Jesus returns. The real Jerusalem on earth, not the one today. Yes, the one today is Jerusalem, but it's under man's rule. Christ is going to come back and He's going to take His city. It says in verse 1, in that day. Bible students, circle those three words. You know by now in the book of Isaiah, we're looking into the future. Even from tonight, 21st century, we look into the future. In that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. And here's the song. We have a strong city. God will appoint salvation for walls and bulwarks. Verse 2, open the gates that the righteous nation, by the way, that's any righteous nation, which keeps the truth, may enter in. Now God's government begins. God's city, the city of David as we know it, Mount Zion, Jerusalem. Jesus is now in the second coming. He's returned. He's enthroned in Jerusalem. And He's going to begin to judge the nations of the earth. The millennial kingdom begins. Those, according to the standard of judgment, as found in Matthew chapter 25, the Bible says that Jesus will judge the nations like a shepherd separates sheep from the goats. And the nations that were kind towards Israel during the 7 years of tribulation period, those nations, those people, will be brought into the kingdom age. They'll pass through the judgment of Christ. And as it were, He'll open the door and they're going to go and they're going to live into the millennial kingdom, the millennial age. Jesus is going to restore the earth. The book of Ezekiel talks about this, and it will be absolutely an environmentalist dream come true when Jesus gets done restoring things. You want to hug a tree? You're going to hug trees. You want to kiss a whale? Oh, you can have a great time. Look, the Bible says, Isaiah tells us that when He does this, that a kid, a child is going to... Now, this seems still sick to me. I mean, I got to take this by faith. I would never do this. But the Bible says that when Christ returns and He restores everything for those 1,000 years, a child will sit down and put his hand into the hole of a poisonous adder, snake, and pull it out and play with it, and they'll be friends. Not me, baby. No way. But there'll be no harm. There'll be no fear. No one's going to get bit. The Bible tells us that a wolf or a lion will lay down with the bear, the lamb. They won't devour one another. It says that the lion, the beasts that consume animals, will eat straw like an ox. Can you imagine walking up to a lion in the millennium, walking up to a lion and just kissing it right on the nose and getting on its back? And you say, Jack, are you okay tonight? Are you serious? I'm dead serious. By the way, you know what? We don't need the millennial age to kind of give us a hint about that. Don't we all have that kind of thing anyway? When you go to the zoo, be honest, wouldn't you like to get on the back of a lion at the zoo down in San Diego? Huh? Come on. Yes, you would. If you wouldn't get hurt, it'd be pretty amazing. It's going to happen. And by the way, the bulk of the Old Testament speaks about this glorious 1,000-year reign of Christ upon His throne. But there's going to be a song that is sung at that point of time, and that's by the righteous nations. They're going to be worshiping God. The book of Isaiah also tells us in another place, we'll come to it eventually, that if a nation does not come up and worship the Lord once a year in Jerusalem while Christ is enthroned, there'll be no rain upon that country. That's a little bit of an incentive to go worship the king, I guess, right? But the concept of a city, and now we're going to take a little diversion, but I hope it means something to you. The concept of a city, by the way, you guys, originated with God. Number one, in heaven, the city, the one and only city, is the New Jerusalem that resides in heaven above. Did you know that the Bible says there's a city in heaven called Jerusalem? God speaks of it as Jerusalem. It's where He is. It's where His abode is. It's where He dwells. And the Bible says in the book of Revelation that that city is going to descend out of the heavens and come. And according to the book of Revelation, it's going to be just above the earth. We don't know the altitude, but it's going to hover just above the earth. And there's an artist rendering of that, but who can make this picture? Nothing's ever been seen like this before. By the way, again, the Old and New Testament gives great descriptions of the New Jerusalem that comes out of heaven. And it's the city of God. Now, because things in heaven are eternal, the concept of a city is God's origination. It's God's. It's not man's. But it is interesting to study cities, and I spent some time today looking at this, and God is going to come back and establish his city, but check this out. When it says that we have a strong city, God will appoint salvation for its walls and bulwark. This is a restored Jerusalem. It's certainly not the Jerusalem today. But when Christ comes back, it's going to be altogether different. A city that will be secure. According to the Bible, it will be a city that is one that offers salvation. It will be a city that is safe. There will be no fear there. It will be a city that is welcoming. A city that is the desire of all the nations of the earth, the Bible says. It is a city that loves truth. And those who love that can enter into it. But listen, have you ever thought, have you ever considered for a moment the characteristics of a city that you and I know? And this is fascinating. And I know our time's limited, but I don't know about you. I just thought this was amazing. A city is where people, think of a city. Let's pick on LA. It's the closest one. It's a city where people focus more on self-preservation. City. In country life, in rural life, it's more communal. Think about this for a moment. Historically, and even in our day and age, though we've lost a lot of it, a suburban area or a rural area or the country is more neighbor dependent. Doesn't take an Einstein to figure that out. When you move into a city, you are around more people. You would think that you'd know more people if you lived in a city. Did you know the exact opposite is true? That when you move into a city, you become more focused on self-preservation. You see people in New York fighting over a cab. You see people in line and getting sometimes hostile for the subway. You get people together and it's not always good. But listen, self-preservation, sociologists have concluded this. They've studied this, that there are people who are very cordial and kind and gentle in their upbringing, predominantly, of course, rural areas. They move into a city and there's a transformation, the pressure. And they believe that if they don't watch out for themselves, they're gonna get run over. Now, I'm just laying this out there. You think if this is true. Have you observed such a thing?
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called 31.7 North, 35.2 East, Part 1. Thanks for spending part of your day with us. And when we keep our eyes on the New Jerusalem, this city of God will always be in our hearts. 31.7 North, 35.2 East, Part 1, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. It's a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, here's something that's pretty cool. If you're a regular listener, or maybe you're brand new to Real Radio, wouldn't it be great if you could just kind of sit down and chit-chat with Pastor Jack? Well, you kind of can, because Pastor Jack has just started a brand new podcast. This is awesome. It's like one-on-one with Pastor Jack, all sorts of different subjects. Just search for the keyword Jack Hibbs, J-A-C-K-H-I-B-B-S, in your favorite podcast app, and look for the new Real Life Talk with Jack Hibbs. It's sort of like one-on-one with Pastor Jack, and you can take it with you wherever you go. Check it out. If you need more info, just go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. As a matter of fact, to get there quicker, you can go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org/talk, and you'll see it right there. Go get that brand new podcast, Real Life Talk with Jack Hibbs. You're going to like it. Hey, here's our phone number if you should need it. It's 877-RR-RADIO. That's a toll-free phone call, 877-777-2346. Also, here's the address. Jot this one down. P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.